Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com.
Today we're going to be discussing the Cheerios recall, and we have a personal connection with this.
We do. I just want to make sure everyone's really clear up front that I have a very personal connection. I'm really pretty angry about this recall. For those who don't know, yesterday, October 5th, 2015, General Mills issued a voluntary recall of Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios produced on specific dates in one of their production plants in Lodi, California. Because they said these products that were labeled as being naturally gluten-free were contaminated with wheat flour, making them unsafe for people who have to follow a gluten-free diet. And that includes my daughter. This last weekend, after a long time of waiting to see if the Cheerios would be safe, because there were some concerns about them, I gave my celiac daughter a bowl of gluten-free Cheerios. And she woke up Saturday night, in the middle of the night. She was sobbing, her stomach was in pain, and she was literally covered in diarrhea. Because that's what happens when someone who has celiac disease consumes gluten. It's an autoimmune disorder that makes your body attack itself when gluten permeates the lining of your large and small intestine. And so when that happens to someone with celiac disease, their body starts attacking the sensors in their intestines that help them digest food properly. It literally destroys them, and it can take several weeks for them to start functioning again. So during that time period, someone with celiac disease will be malnourished. They may lose weight. They will have horrific stomach pains. They'll have diarrhea, bloating, all sorts of other issues. It can cause severe skin rash, hair loss, and so many other issues. My daughter was diagnosed when she was almost two. She had had some health issues when she was little, but she turned one and started eating solid food. She weighed about 18 pounds at the time. Over the next 9 months, she started losing weight and losing more weight. And she was teeny. She was extremely pale. She threw up constantly. We couldn't figure out why. And finally, a few months before her second birthday, we found out through a surgical testing procedure that she had celiac disease. And at that point, she dropped from 18 pounds down to 15 pounds. And she hasn't fully ever recovered from this damage to her system. It's caused some permanent issues, which is why she's 7 years old, and she weighs just barely over 30 pounds. She still wears a lot of toddler clothes because she's that teeny. We've done a great job of keeping her free of gluten. She hasn't had a significant glutening exposure in years, as far as I can tell, but she definitely was hit by gluten on Saturday night. For us, I mean, that's terrifying because we fought so hard to help her gain weight. And over the next few weeks, she will likely lose some of that weight that she has worked so hard to gain. She missed school yesterday, and it's going to take her months really to completely recover. And one of the other horrible side effects for some people who get gluten is brain fog, irritability. She'll burst out sobbing for no reason because she hurts. So I've spent the last few days watching my baby girl go through this. And you got to understand, we didn't know that there was a recall when this came out. So I did what we normally do if we think someone's been contaminated. I went through everything we've done. I've looked at every box of food we had. I've worried, did I touch something? Did I do something wrong? And then I woke up Monday morning and saw that Cheerios was recalling their boxes. And I knew exactly what had happened.
And this is just from one bowl of Cheerios.
Yes, from one bowl of Cheerios. And that's because people who have celiac disease have to have food that has, by definition, less than 20 parts per million of gluten. Meaning they grind up the food, they do there are several tests, but they do a special test in a lab that measures how many parts per million of gluten there are in that sample. And in order for a product to be labeled as gluten-free, it either has to be something like an apple or a banana that is naturally gluten-free, thereby doesn't need testing, or it needs to be tested in a lab to verify that it is less than 20 parts per million. And it has to be submitted to the FDA, and they have to maintain that standard. But this gets kind of scary for a lot of us who deal with celiac disease because there are some independent testing organizations. My personal favorite is Gluten Free Watchdog. It's not an endorsement, that's just my personal opinion. where they take these products after they've hit the market, and they actually pay to have them independently tested at a lab to verify that they really do conform. And the scary thing for a lot of us is that at any given point in time, anywhere from 5 to 35% of products labeled gluten-free don't qualify as gluten-free when they're independently tested. They have more than 20 parts per million gluten.
So as much as one-third of the gluten-free products on the market might have gluten in
them. They might at any given point in time, which is why independent confirmation is so important. Because a lot of companies, when they're getting gluten-free approval, they'll test, they'll get to a decent level, they'll have enough results to show, yeah, sure, we come under that. But as we all know, processes change. You have to work hard to make sure that they stay stable. And a lot of that depends on statistical control and really what your testing method is. And a lot of companies don't test often enough or don't understand their process well enough to catch mistakes before they hit the market.
Well, this recall by Cheerios is caused by what, according to them?
According to them, I actually have a statement here from one of their executives, Jim Murphy, who is president of the cereal division of General Mills. He said, "As president of General Mills cereal business, I am embarrassed and truly sorry to announce today we are recalling boxes of Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios produced on several dates at our Lodi, California facility." And what they say is that they grind their oats in a different location. Okay, so they have these oats that come in, and then they create the oat flour, they bag it up, and then they ship it to the plants. There are at least four plants around the country that are producing these gluten-free Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios. Well, one of the trains that they were using to ship this flour failed. It broke down, and they needed to load all of these bags onto trucks to take them to the facilities. However, the train was also carrying wheat flour. And at some point in the process, they say, some bags of wheat flour were loaded onto the trucks with the supposedly gluten-free oat flour. And they say that that is how this wheat flour was introduced into the system in these gluten-free plants.
So just one little incident here.
Mm-hmm.
One truck, some bags of
wheat flour.
Well,
we don't know the extent. We don't know how much wheat flour was. They're just saying that some was inadvertently introduced. We don't know anything else about it, but that's what they're saying happened. They're saying this is an isolated incident, and it sounds, if that's the case, absolutely, yes, it is. But there's a larger problem with gluten-free Cheerios that goes beyond this one incident.
Actually goes back to how they were doing their, the press campaign to introduce gluten-free Cheerios.
Well, yeah, it goes even back further than that. So some background on gluten-free oats. So oats naturally don't have this protein, gluten, which contains a substance that triggers these horrible reactions for people who have celiac disease. Most people who use oats use certified gluten-free oats if they're making gluten-free products. One of the concerns when you grow oats is even though oats are naturally gluten-free, they're frequently mixed in with other grains. Because if you grow wheat in a field right next door to oats, some of those oat kernels are going to get blown by the wind, mixed in with your oats, and you may accidentally be sowing wheat into your field, which means when you harvest it, you've just harvested a bunch of wheat kernels with your oats. And this happens with barley, rye, and wheat. So there's a very high contamination rate. So if you're going to grow oats, you want to have certified gluten-free. You have to be growing them in a field where you have not grown barley, rye, or wheat for at least 5 years. And there are some folks who take it even further. There are several companies that won't grow their oats within a mile of wheat, rye, or barley. And this is what they do to prevent cross-contamination. It's very expensive. There is a shortage of gluten-free oats because of it, because it costs a lot of money. I mean, I'll tell you, when we order a small bag of oats for my daughter, it's easily $4 to $6 for less than a pound of oats.
Compared to regular oatmeal,
you can get a giant container of Quaker oats for a couple of bucks, honestly. Oatmeal naturally is not that expensive, but the added burden both to grow it safely, and then also most companies submit to independent separate testing. So even though they've done a process where they believe there won't be any wheat or rye or barley included, they still submit their oats to independent testing just to make sure on a regular basis that it's safe. But Cheerios is a massive company. There simply aren't enough gluten-free oats being produced in a certified way. This is called the Purity Protocol. There are not enough Purity Protocol oats being produced in this country to produce all the Cheerios that they want to make. So, according to General Mills, several years ago, about 2007, one of their research and development engineers has a daughter who had celiac disease, and he wanted to find a way to make Cheerios gluten-free. So he started working on it. And according to their blog post explaining this, he even went to one of their executives and said, "I'm willing to use my retirement fund to make this happen." And they gave him money and told him to keep going and find a way. And what they developed, we don't know much about it, it's a proprietary process, but they say they found a way to harvest regular oats, the normal oats from their supply chain, take them to a special facility where they use a proprietary process to visually and mechanically separate oat kernels from rye, wheat, and barley before they get ground up and turned into flour. That's what they say they've been able to do. Now, that would sound wonderful because, I mean, if you can remove them from the process, oats are naturally gluten-free. So, yes, in theory, they should be safe. But there are some problems with this. One of the biggest ones is that barley looks nearly identical to oats in kernel form. It's extremely hard to tell the difference unless you've been highly trained and know what you're doing. They're also very small, so one mistake can introduce a kernel into the process. And you only need one to ruin the entire batch for everyone. So there's that just as a basis. Also, there has been almost no peer-reviewed testing to verify that removing wheat and barley and rye visually from regularly grown oats is safe. We don't honestly know if that process can reliably and consistently produce oats that are safe for people with celiac disease. We don't know if the gluten is somehow being transferred by proximity. We just don't know enough about it.
But now, we keep talking about celiac, but, you know, there's a lot of people who are into gluten-free.
There are, yes.
So, but why are we focusing on celiac?
We're focusing on celiac disease for a few reasons. There are many different medical reasons why someone might not want to eat gluten, wheat, rye, or barley. And that includes medical conditions like having a food allergy. There are a lot of people who are specifically allergic to wheat gluten, meaning if they consume it, their face will swell up, their throat could swell up, they could have horrific anaphylactic shock. So that's a very valid reason.
Some people are allergic to bee stings.
Exactly. Okay. The exact same
method. But that's not celiac.
That's not celiac disease. That's where your body attacks a foreign protein is what an allergy is. In celiac disease, as an autoimmune condition, your body is confused and attacks itself. Now, celiac disease is a little more specific because it reacts on a protein level. So when you digest food, it breaks down in your gut, and you have these little feelers in your intestines called villi, and they sense what's coming through, and they produce enzymes. They help you digest food properly. Also, your gut is permeable, so nutrients can actually permeate the wall, go through, and enter your bloodstream. Well, celiac disease has an extremely low threshold for a reaction, meaning you get above those 20 parts per million, that's it. You could have a reaction. It's generally considered to be the lowest threshold of all medical conditions, meaning if something is safe for someone with celiac disease, it will also be safe for someone who has a wheat allergy or sensitivity to some other compound included in wheat, rye, and barley. That's why we focus on celiac disease so much, is because if it's safe for them, it'll be safe for other people who have issues, people who have just a gluten sensitivity or whatever else causes these uncomfortable reactions.
Or whatever their desires might be.
Exactly. The problem is there are a lot of other people who want to eat gluten-free. There, especially in the last 10 years, it's become kind of a fitness fad. Thank you, Gwyneth Paltrow, where people think that eating gluten-free will somehow be healthier for them. A lot of people think it'll help them lose weight. Or there's been some debate, especially among bloggers and some pseudoscientists, that wheat is causing inflammation and is bad for anyone to eat at all. So there are a lot of people who think that gluten-free will be the answer for them. The difference is there are some people who are making a lifestyle choice to not eat gluten because they think it'll make them slightly healthier. For people with celiac disease and wheat, rye, or barley allergies, it is a life or death situation. It is handing them gluten is like feeding them poison. Their body interprets it as poison, and it is as much of a threat to their health and safety. As we saw, I mean, my daughter ate gluten periodically for 9 months as a baby, and she was literally wasting away. And people have died. In fact, celiac disease is often considered, undiagnosed celiac disease, is often considered to be the number one cause of unexplained miscarriage. That's how much it affects your system. A woman with undiagnosed celiac disease who eats gluten could very easily miscarry because her body will go into that degree of attack. People have lost their hair, they've lost their jobs over celiac reactions. This is a major medical crisis, and 1% of the population has celiac disease. Sorry, this is a big rant here, but that's why we're focusing on it so much. So back to Cheerios. They created this process where they claim that they can clean the oats. It's a new process. It hasn't been done safely before. But because it's proprietary, they're not telling anyone exactly what the process is. They're just saying, hey, our results show that we will meet the FDA's criteria, so we're fine. So that's how they clean the oats. And then they grind the oats into flour. And then they are transported to facilities where they produce the Cheerios. These facilities are shared with gluten ingredients, meaning that when they use the machines, they have a special process for shutting things down, cleaning the machines to make sure there's no gluten left. And then they produce the gluten-free Cheerios. They shut it down. They produce the gluten ingredients. And then they repeat the process over and over again, in theory. That is, there are other places that successfully produce gluten-free food in a shared facility. It happens. My daughter eats some of those products, and she does just fine with them. Mm-hmm. Some people don't. It all depends on how accurate the process is, and that relies on the testing. So to help gain trust with the gluten-free community, Cheerios invited a group of prominent gluten-free bloggers, dietitians, doctors, and experts to come and tour their facilities in mid-July of this year, 2005. Okay, one of those bloggers who was invited is registered dietitian Trisha Thompson, who also has a master's in science. She runs Gluten-Free Watchdog LLC, which I mentioned earlier. I want to reiterate again, this is not an endorsement, but I really appreciate the work that has been done by Trisha because she's one of the foremost independent sources for information on gluten-free products, and she is very dedicated to transparency. So what Trisha does on Gluten-Free Watchdog is she takes products that are out in the market already. So these are not coming from the manufacturer directly. They've been sold in stores. And she brings them in and she pays to have them independently tested by a food lab to confirm the levels of gluten.
And she's the one that gave you the figure of from 5 to 35%?
Well, yes, this is all on her website. In fact, she conducted a study in which she determined that her and a few other dietitians determined that 32% of naturally gluten-free grains and flours tested contaminated gluten in amounts greater than 20 parts per million. And now she runs the site where some of the reports are free and some of them you have to pay a subscription for. But she gets this information back and she discloses it to the public so that they know what the actual levels are. It's about holding companies accountable and making sure that they know if there's a problem in their system, because we can't expect people to test every single box. Independent testing is so important for that. Trisha is one of those people who was invited, and she saw some red flags in Cheerios' process, which she has been very public about. She has disclosed a lot of her correspondence with Cheerios since then. So when they brought these bloggers to Cheerios, they showed them how they test for gluten-free products. This is important. Usually what you do is you pull some samples from each lot that you're producing and you test those. And if you do that in a statistically significant quantity, you'll get a pretty good idea of whether or not your process is stable. That's what we want to know. We want to know, can we really predict that we are consistently producing things safely? If there's a problem, are we sure we're going to find it? Do we have a really high likelihood of finding it? Well, what Trisha saw concerned her. And let me read to you exactly from her website what process she was shown. So here we go. This is directly from glutenfreewatchdog.org, from her article, Gluten-Free Cheerios Take 2. She explains, General Mills has four plants producing gluten-free Cheerios using what they term validated gluten-free flour. At the time of my visit to General Mills, which was July 14th through 16th, they had 88 production dates or lots of testing data, which means that's how much data they were basing their decisions on. And this is in mid-July, okay?
And a lot is basically what they produce in one
day. Yes, I'm going to get there. Each data point represents a lot mean. General Mills defines a lot as a 24-hour production cycle. So they produce Cheerios or Honey Nut Cheerios for an entire day, and that's their lot. That's what they're going to test as a sample. So that's how they break things up, right? And then when they say that it's a lot mean, what they're saying is that they take samples throughout the day, and then they test those, but they only report the average. That's what the mean is. The mean is the average. Here's the process they follow to get there. She says, 1, 12 to 18 boxes of cereal are pulled during a production cycle. 2, the contents of each individual box are ground. 3, a subsample of ground product is taken from each box. So they take the box, they grind up each box, then they pull a little bit from each box. Then the subsamples are composited, meaning they're combined. So they mix all the samples together before they test them. The combined subsamples are subjected to additional grinding. They combine them, they're grinding them even more, and then 12 extractions are taken from this combined ground sample. So they take that final samples from all these boxes, they grind them up, they keep them all together, then they pull 12 samples that have all been ground together. Then the extractions are tested using the Rytoscreen Fast Gliadin, which is a test. It's called the R7002 test. This is a lab test for testing levels of gluten. What's really concerning about this test, just in general, just so you know, every test has a different level. And the lower limit of quantification for this test is 10 parts per million. That means that if you get a reading on the test that is less than 10 parts per million, it's not accurate. It could be 9, it could be 1, but no matter what it says, you don't know for sure that it's accurate. It cannot be accurate for a reading less than 10 parts per million. That's really important to know here. All right, so while Tricia was at site, she says that results from randomly pulled data sheets were shared with her. The vast majority of extractions from these data sheets were under 20 parts per million. Many were below the lower limit of quantification of 10 parts per million. That means they handed her test results where there were values of less than 10 parts per million. And now in general, this is good. We want things less than 20 parts per million. So seeing those results should really be reassuring for most of us. But it isn't, and here's why. According to General Mills, the data that was shown to Tricia was from their validation phase. This means that all those 88 data points they were talking about and showing these bloggers weren't from boxes that were going to be labeled gluten-free and put on the shelf. Instead, they were from boxes that they were testing the process with, so they were trying to follow their procedures and make sure they had them stable before they launched them in the market.
As gluten-free,
yes. but here's why Tricia was concerned, is because we experience, as consumers, we experience the product in a box, okay? I eat a box of Cheerios. My daughter eats from a box of Cheerios. And General Mills isn't testing boxes of Cheerios. They are taking 12 to 18 boxes every day out of 100,000 boxes that are produced each day. They're only pulling 12 to 18 of them for testing. And then they're grinding up samples from each of those, mixing them together, and then sampling 12 things from that combined sample. What they're concerned with is that if you have...
It would be just as if I was going to measure the average height of a group of people, and I chose 12 people, and 11 of them were 3 feet tall, and one was 7'6".
Mm-hmm.
My average height is going to be
really low.
It's going to be low, but it's not really going to be representative.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the problem with the testing, is that while Tricia was there looking at the data sheet, she saw one sample that was 90 parts per million. And she asked
them
about it.
Which is above the limit.
That's more than 70 parts per million. That is more than 4 times the legal limit for gluten. And when she asked them about it, they said, oh, don't worry about it. That was likely an errant speck of barley that didn't get ground up enough in the testing. It's just a hot spot. We're not going to worry about that because the average for everything was less than 20 parts per million.
But the problem is that you don't eat the average. You eat the box of Cheerios.
Exactly. I eat the box. And what concerns me is that in the blog post that Cheerios released about this, they said, because of our process, we know every box is under 20 parts per million and can be labeled gluten-free. But Tricia's gone multiple rounds with them, and they don't ever test the individual box. They only test samples from individual boxes combined. So what they're doing is if a box has more than 20 parts per million, if there is a dangerous amount of gluten in there, then we're never going to know because that sample's been diluted
by all the other samples, which are below
exactly
20 parts per million.
The other concern is that when Cheerios was calculating their average, what Tricia observed is that if a reading was less than 10 parts per million, which is not accurate, remember the test can't give you an accurate result below that. They can tell you it's less than 10 parts, but you can't know that it was really 3 or 7. It could be anything at that point. They were using the reported number. So they were calculating in 3 or 5 to calculate their average.
Or 7 or 9, whatever.
But the industry standard is that when you hit the lower limit of a test, you use whatever that lower limit is. Even if the reading was less than that, you would use 10 in that case. Because that is the, or you might use 9.999, because that is the only way to make sure you're in a safe range. So not only was Cheerios only measuring the average of everything. They weren't measuring individual boxes, but they're skewing their average lower than it really should be by using numbers that can't be validated as accurate. Now, I appreciate, if you go to her website, Tricia released her correspondence with Cheerios about this. She asked them specifically why they were doing this, particularly why were they using the test that had a limit of 10 when there is a test that exists that will actually measure accurately down to 5. So the test they're using is the R7002. But the R7001 is accurate down to 5 parts per million. Why not use that? Then they could accurately use their numbers, right? Well, this was their response. With all the learning we've done in our journey to bring gluten-free Cheerios to market, we know that looking at only a single data point does not represent the entire picture. As we shared with you, we conduct a minimum of 12 tests on any given sample of Cheerios. In doing so, we look first at the lot mean, that's the average, to give us an initial indication of safety. However, we also look at the confidence interval around the lot mean to tell us about the variability of the individual extractions. It is through a thorough assessment of all the data we have confidence around the safety of any given sample or lot.
Now, when they talk about confidence interval, mm-hmm. what they're talking about is when you take a sample or samples, the number of samples will give you an indication of how much confidence you can have that the mean is going to represent mm-hmm. what the mean of the population is.
Yes.
It's just like in political polls. They'll generally come out with a number saying, you know, 52% are in favor or opposed or whatever, mm-hmm. with plus or minus 4%. That's the confidence factor or level that mm-hmm. they have.
Yes. But this continues to be concerning because they're not really addressing the problem here because the test itself is flawed. They're not testing the individual boxes, so they can't guarantee each box is safe. But all of this technical stuff aside, it gets even more concerning because when Cheerios released this information about the recall, people started asking, well, how did you miss this? You told us your testing system was safe. If it was so safe, why didn't you catch this, that you had introduced wheat flour? I mean, it's been 2 months since these boxes were produced, 2 months of them being out in the market. Why didn't they catch it? Well, come to find out, on these 17 lots totaling 1.8 million boxes of Cheerios, no final product testing was performed. They did not test the final product. This amazing procedure they say supposedly works, pulling those samples from those 12 boxes, they didn't do any testing on those lots.
And they had what we would call, as in the quality profession, a special cause problem, because they had the transportation problem, mm-hmm. they had to change their supply chain, and that allowed the introduction
yes.
of wheat.
So we have two real issues you're dealing with right now with the gluten-free community and Cheerios. One is this obvious specific failure of introducing wheat into the system and not testing it, which is just inexcusable. That there is no excuse for not testing, especially at the beginning of a production. When you're just really starting to launch the commercial phase, there is no excuse for not testing. There's that concern. And Cheerios views this as an isolated incident that they've resolved. But there's this larger problem that for months they've been getting reports that people were getting sick from Cheerios. And for months, bloggers, food scientists, dietitians, doctors have been raising concerns that their testing methodology is not suited to the needs of the gluten-free community and that it is hiding boxes that may have too much gluten in them, that their process isn't safe and their testing standards aren't stringent enough. And that's what's really the culmination here, is that we are perfectly willing to forgive someone who had a mistake where something was introduced and they missed it somehow. We understand that happens. But we're concerned this is part of a larger pattern of not listening to the same market they're trying to convince to give them money. Particularly when our watchdogs, our specialists are telling them, hey, this isn't how you test gluten-free food. This isn't safe. This isn't good enough. And if they'd done what people had said months ago, one, they would have caught this, but two, we're also concerned that it's about more than just a bag of, they're worried about bags of wheat getting in. We're worried that they are not stable enough to recognize if even traces are in. How do we know that all of these issues came from the wheat that supposedly was interpreted or introduced 2 months ago? We don't. There's a huge violation of trust here.
And that is an issue that we're going to look at some more. We looked at it last
yes.
time with Volkswagen, and we're going to be mm-hmm. looking at it again in our next podcast.
Yes. Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2014 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But now, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you if you just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.